Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening live, you can come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net/chat and join the conversation. In this hour, we have news and headlines, and which we'll be looking at for the first hour. The second hour, we're going to jump back into the revelation and discuss some more about exactly what the revelation is saying about the days that we're living in, trying to mesh the revelation with the timeline that we are in. All right. Well, let's start with a lighter note. Babylon B. Biden assures nation we have nothing to worry about thanks to his cool new padded helmet he is wearing. Anyway, so there's Biden. You know, we all know he keeps falling down. And I just heard on the news at the top of the hour from his press secretary that that Biden has had an amazing 2 years. And I just think, what planet are these people on if they think the last 2 years have been an amazing 2 years, as if there is some great achievement that has been accomplished in the last 2 years by this man being in office? And really, I was thinking about it in a conversation I was having with someone else. And I came to the realization that we are in Obama's fourth term. That's right. I believe that the big guy, you know, from the emails, the big guy that they were referring to that had to get his cut, I believe the big guy is Obama. I think that's who they were referring to. And I believe that we are in Obama's fourth term right now. People would probably think no, but yeah, maybe. Because, of course, Obama had his first 2 terms. He got his 8 years. And what brings this on is there's now word going around that Obama might get his 5th term in 2024. Go, how can a president run for 5 terms? Don't we have a limit on how many terms a president can run? But, yeah. So here's how I come to this conclusion that Obama is in his 4th term now. And may get his 5th term. That will be unprecedented in history. It's already unprecedented in history. But even while Trump was, in fact, the president, okay, while he was in the office, I believe that Obama was still running the nation because Trump could get nothing done. And even his own administration was working to get him out of office and to sabotage everything he wanted to do to make America great again, which is kind of a, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that Obama is behind the scenes right now? I know I heard that he has an office in Washington, D.C. that he works from. And that several times during his presidency in the last couple of years that Biden has referred to Obama as President Obama. And he's also referred to Kamala Harris as President Harris on more than several occasions. So there's something fishy going on here. And so it's wonderful to see this guy in this helmet in case he falls down again. He won't lose more of his mental capacity. So there it is. Are we in Obama's 4th term as president of the United States? Of course he has to hide because it's not legal for him to run more than 2 terms. But I believe that he was running the bureaucracy during President Trump's term and that he is running the presidency now during Biden's term. And now they're talking about running Obama as Joe Biden's vice president. That's what I'm talking about. So, in fact, or de facto, it will be a fifth term for Obama. Unprecedented. I hope it ain't so, because I believe that there are too many idiots out there, and I'm sorry if you're included in that bunch. No, I'm not sorry. You're sorry. That's who is sorry. If you're included in that bunch, you would be sorry. And what bunch am I talking about? I'm talking about the whole bunch of people that would vote for Obama just because he's Obama, or just because he's black, or just because he's Democrat, or just because he's a liberal. Yeah. That's the sorry bunch I'm talking about. They would be voting not for Biden, but voting for Obama. And would Obama do that to save his president's fifth, to save his fifth term as president? Yes, I think he would do that. Because, you know, they're kicking around a lot of ideas out there, I'm sure. And Michelle Obama is one of those ideas. As much loved as she is by idiots who think that she would make a good president, give me a break. You know, God help us as a nation. We need help already. We are in big trouble. They are destroying America. But I believe the backlash is coming. I hope I see backlash all over the place, and I hope it is coming. You know, as we peruse the news today, just the insanity, the total insanity is almost overwhelming. But I just hope that sanity wins out in the end. So anyway, there it is. And that's about all the Babylon Bee has today, besides commercials. See, I'm noticing a lot more commercials. I think that's a commercial. I don't know what that means. Top 8 VBS themes this year. I don't even know what a VBS is. Is it Vacation Bible School? I think that's what they're saying. But I don't see anything that looks like a Bible here. So, yikes, maybe that is funny, given the state of the church these days. Commercial. Bigoted gender surgeon still offering only male and female. Huh? I guess in a way that's funny. What else are they offering? But they're just offering to mutilate women to turn them into men, or so that they look like men. It's only cosmetic surgery, folks. You can't really become a man if you're a woman by surgery. And then you got to live with that surgery and maintain it for the rest of your shortened life. And the same thing the other way, turning men into women by chopping parts off and creating holes where they should not be. It's very sick. And yeah, if some grown-up person wants to get that kind of cosmetic surgery, you know, I'm not going to stop them. I would try to talk them out of it, but I wouldn't stop them. But for them to say they want to perform this kind of stuff on children is reprehensible and child abuse. So don't need to say any more about that. That's starting, that sanity right there is starting to rear up its beautiful face in many of our states. I think 21 so far. So hopefully that ball will keep rolling. Although I don't hold out much hope for California, unless we have a revolution over here on the ground against the Democrats. See, the Republicans all walked out of the legislature the other day because they were having a drag queen celebration in the House or something. Anyway, don't want to go there, okay? That may be the hint of a revolution happening in California. God, I can only hope so. Please, Lord, let it be. That's what I would say about that. Let's see what else we got here. Yes. Airport now conveniently lets you pick up bags directly from Sam Brinton's house. And this is this clown world guy that Joe Biden put in the Atomic Energy Department or something, just because he wants his administration to look like a clown world. And anyway, the guy is prosecuted for theft. I think he got kicked out of office because he could not exercise self-control And you look at the guy, and that becomes obvious, but he couldn't exercise self-control from stealing other people's stuff publicly and on camera. Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike.
Hey.
I just wanted to give you an FIY. You remember that Brunson case?
Okay, yeah.
That could remove president, vice president.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, well, evidently it's still in the works, and the Supremes are going to...
Oh, they're reconsidering it, huh?
22nd, I'm going to give you a... I'll put it in the chat, but...
Okay.
The site on YouTube is called Beth News. Beth, as in the girl's name, Beth.
B-E-V?
B-E-T-H.
Oh, Beth. Yeah.
Yeah. Beth News, and there's no space in between the words, and it's just a 17-minute video, but it's mind-blowing.
Okay, I'll check it out, definitely. I would like to...
Hey,
I thought it was done when they... I guess they're...
I thought it was dead.
Yeah, so they're considering it for their next section.
Interesting information in this short video, but I'll put it in the chat.
All right, yeah, please do that. I definitely want to see that. Anything else, Mike?
Nope, I may call back before you're done, but you know.
All right, well, I'll be here looking for your call then.
Okie doke.
It's nice when people call and I actually hear a voice.
I'm sorry, say again?
I said it's nice when people call and I actually hear a voice.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you get back to it, but I'll put that in the chat.
All right, thanks, brother. Bye.
You bet. Bye.
Okay, well, there you heard it. The Brunson case is being considered for the next session again. So, yeah, speaking of pushback, I hope that something comes of it, because it's a powerful case, but I thought that they've just pushed it off to the next session. Hopefully they'll hear it this time. If they're reconsidering it again, that means that might mean there's a good possibility. All right, well, that's good news anyway. And when he gets that link, we'll check it out and perhaps discuss it after I peruse it a few minutes, or maybe we'll save it for next week, because it's not, you know, it's not an urgent thing, but it would be good news. Yeah, I did a broadcast on it several years ago on the Brunson case that was on the docket but didn't make it. All right, let's see what else we got here. Oh, yes, our Jesuit Governor Newsom, and that's not a joke. He is a Jesuit. You can go to his wiki page. You can find out who he was trained by, and then you go, oh, gosh, no wonder. Yeah, America, I mean, the state of California has gone so woke. Newsom says it's cruel and unusual to fly immigrants to California. Yeah, I think he's suing Texas, Governor Abbott. Like, what right does he have to sue another state for flying immigrants? I mean, the U.S. government is flying immigrants all over the country. So if the U.S. government can only has the permission to do what its masters give it permission to do, and that means the U.S. government there in Washington, D.C., is gone way beyond what it's allowed to do lawfully. Yeah. So I'd like to see that come back. And later in this hour, we're going to talk. I've got a sound clip from RFK on gun control. So that question has been answered and settled as far as RFK Jr.'s stand on gun control. Well, maybe we should do that one now. Okay, I've got an audio here. Let me cue it up. We can listen to it, and then if anyone wants to, we can discuss it. Okay.
My position on the gun control is I'm not going to take away anybody's guns. I'm a constitutional absolutist, and we can argue about whether the Second Amendment was intended to protect guns. But that argument is now been settled by the Supreme Court, and And it has a very, and the Supreme Court, you know, the Antonin Scalia's decision is a very expansive interpretation of the right to own a gun. But more importantly, I don't, you know, anybody who tells you that by, with incremental changes or incremental laws in regulating guns. And by the way, I want to say this, I have two members of my family that were killed in gun violence. So, you know, I understand the heartbreak that this is causing to so many Americans. It's touched my family directly. And I know as president that you are going to expect me, and I'm going to do everything I can to reduce gun violence in this country. I think one of the tools that has been taken out of my hands is taking away people's guns. I don't think it's the right thing right now because it will just polarize our country. I've lived in rural areas of this country. I know how integrated gun culture is in those areas and how important it is to them in the way they view the Constitution. I also know we're living in a time when the Constitution has been under attack, all the other amendments, in an unprecedented way, and how that would be seen by people who believe strongly in the Second Amendment as part of a systematic assault on our Bill of Rights. And I don't want to get into that debate. I want to stop the school shootings. And if it comes down to protecting the schools the way that we protect airlines, I will do that. I do not want any more children dying in our schools. I also am going to look very closely at the role of psychiatric drugs in these events.
It's about time. There are
no good studies right now that should have been done years ago on this issue, because there's a tremendous circumstantial evidence that those like SSRIs and benzos and other drugs are doing this. There's something happening in our country right now that is not happening anywhere else in the world and has never happened in human history. And you have to look at some of almost all of these drugs. If you look at their manufacturer's inserts, they include a side effect of homicidal and suicidal behavior.
That's right.
And prior to the introduction of Prozac, we had almost none of these events in our country, and we've never seen them in human history, where people walk into a schoolroom of children or strangers and start shooting people. There's other nations that have as many guns per capita as we do, like Switzerland. Switzerland, the last school shooting was 21 years ago. We have one every 21 hours. The one thing that we have that's different than anybody in the world is the amount of psychiatric drugs our children are taking and our people are taking. And we need to look at that. And NIH should have done that years ago, but they will not do it. And they'll block other people from doing it because they're working not for us, but for the pharmaceutical industry. That's and this right. is their major profit center today. And so nobody wants to hear none of those. Industry. You know, the pharma does not want to hear about any problems with SSRIs. But I will do those studies immediately when I get into office, and we're going to get the truth. Guns, the proliferation of guns, clearly abet violence. But anybody who tells you that they can remove enough guns, AR-15s or whatever, by tinkering at the margins and get to the kind of the situation that they have in Western Europe is pulling your leg. It's not going to happen. We need to look now at other solutions, and the only way we're ultimately going to get gun controls in this country is through consensus, and that consensus cannot happen when we're all at each other's throats. We need to assure the public, people who feel insecure about the Constitution, that our Constitution is no longer under threat, that nobody wants to come and take away their guns, and that will bring people to the table and say, okay, how do we protect our children? And that's what I'm going to try to do as president.
And there you have it. RFK on gun control. Bringing in, I've discussed this many times over the years. Every time there's a gun shooting, you look at the drugs, the SSRIs. And the public schools have a lot to do with, take a lot of blame, because these women can't stand boys being boys. And because boys are disruptive. Boys are made to be disruptive. Boys are not made to sit in a chair for 8 hours a day. Who can stand? I can't stand it. I'm a man. I'm sitting here in a chair right now, but I can't do it 8 hours a day. I'm going to be getting up and going for a walk at least once every couple hours or more, several times an hour throughout the day. You'll catch me getting up. I got to get up out of that chair and walk around. One thing, it's not healthy to sit in a chair that long. Yeah. So if he does that, if he follows through with it, he's got my vote. You know, if there's any chance out of all of the candidates out there, this is the guy who should be president for the time that we're living in. And I said several years ago on this topic that once RFK does his study and investigation into the SSRIs that he mentioned as being the cause of these shootings, which it seems obvious to me that they are, to a lot of people that they are, that perhaps Congress should pass legislation stating that anyone, this would go to doctor-patient relationship, but I think for public safety it might be necessary, that anyone who has subscribed SSRI drugs that have the side effects of homicide and suicide as a side effect, that these should be required to give up their firearms while they're under the influence of these drugs until they're cleared by their doctor. Now, I know the drug companies wouldn't like that very much, but with the track record of these drugs and what they've done to our society and what they are continuing to do to our society, I think it is very necessary, and I don't think it's an infringement on our right to bear arms if we are taking drugs that have specific side effects that make us a danger to ourselves and others. Okay? And it is true that people could find other ways, but other ways to kill people if they really want to do homicide and commit suicide, at least there would be some check on their power to do that. And we'll see what happens out of this. And just for this one reason alone, because of the SSRI drugs and RFK's stance on these things, I think that he is the best presidential candidate out there. Anyway, that was a clip from the interview he did, so-called interview that he did on Twitter. I don't like the interviews on Twitter. I hate to say it, but Elon Musk doesn't belong on radio. Just listen to the guy. He's not an interviewer, okay? But I am glad for the forum and that these things could come out. But I had to wait. I had to listen to the whole thing looking for that clip, and it was almost 2 hours long. But I learned quite a bit about RFK. And yeah, he's the man. Donald Trump is not the man. He's not half the man RFK is. Now, RFK is not your worshipful master or anything like that, like a lot of people think Donald Trump is. These are just men. But I like where this man stands, and he is awakened on a lot of, I mean, he has fought back hard against the vaccines, and he has been fighting back hard against them for many years, and I think he ought to be applauded for that alone. Anyway, I'm going into a break. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're still listening to First Amendment Radio, and I'm Nicholas, and the name of this broadcast is Prophecy Reality. So this is a Prophecy Reality edition, and I come here every week on Wednesday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. So if you would like to get a notice of when I'm going on the air, please go to my blog. It's at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and just press the follow button there, and I issue a post every Wednesday morning before I go on the air, so that to notify people that we are going on the air. And hey, let me take this call here. Your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, Nicholas, Fireman Mike again. I'll put this in the chat too, but there's another bit worth looking at, a fella called Snafu Radio on YouTube put a statement out that the media is not covering that the fact that 46 states have already confirmed that Biden did not win in their state.
Wow. Well, that does sound interesting.
I'll put that in the chat too. And then it's also very interesting to me that YouTube on Friday reversed their censorship policy.
Yeah, I did hear about that, and that's definitely worth noting. I haven't had time to read their policy yet, but I've been caught up in doing a broadcast here this morning.
Right. And my concern is, it seems like these shootings have been ramping up over the last week or two, and I think that if this Brunson case seriously gets put in front of the American people, it's going to be big trouble for the deep state. And I'm afraid we're going to start to see all kinds of false flags or manipulation of events, maybe, God forbid, even something in the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, you got people going after the Bidens with all these ties to China. But anyway, I'll put those, it just seems like things are starting to ramp up. And I'm afraid we're going to start seeing a lot more.
You sure it's just starting to ramp up?
Provide distraction.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, I'll put them in the chat there.
We'll look for that. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, there you have it. Yeah, the YouTube policy. I didn't notice that. I saw a notice of it this morning. And I'm not going back on YouTube, but I think the policy change is actually a reaction to what's happening on Twitter, because Twitter is now becoming the go-to place if you want free speech. I mean, I've got banned and videos taken down for what? Medical disinformation, election disinformation, and several other types of disinformation. Yeah. For telling facts, you know, or misinformation, information they want you to miss. I got that from David Knight. But yeah, misinformation is what it is. It's information they want you to miss. So now they're going to start allowing it on YouTube? You mean what was unsafe for the YouTube community last year, this year is suddenly okay? Yeah, uh-huh. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. This is the guy who called in at the end of the first segment as I was going off. Because he said nothing then either. Okay. So here we go. Headlines. So we're gonna look at headlines and see where we go from there. This is from the American Thinker. Baby Muhammad's overrun the West. And, Muhammad is among the top baby names in many Western countries. This spells disaster for Western civilization. I don't really need to open that article to read it. Now, it may be a disaster for Western civilization because Western civilization is forgetting about God. And especially, well, they're talking definitely about Western civilization in Europe. We've got a different kind of overrun here in America, but that's part of the Joe Biden disaster that's been going on for 2 years. Yes, what an amazing president. But, you know, if these the problem is that when people are coming into the country, they're not receiving the gospel. And because if they would receive the gospel, they could let go of their false god, their false moon god, and they could worship the true God in spirit and in truth. So that's the problem. And that's, you know, we now have all these millions of people still pouring into America. Where's the church? Where are the missionaries to the border? You know, where are they? You know, God calls churches to send missionaries all over the world. And then other nations need to send missionaries here. It just seems that that more people are falling away from even nominal Christianity than before. Anyway. Okay. Ron DeSantis's war on woke. There's no politician who better understands that woke is an existential threat to America. Well, there are other politicians out there, but they're not getting elected because of their stand. Perhaps Ron DeSantis is having an awakening while he's in office, because he certainly wasn't awake before he went into office on much of a scale. He needed President Trump to help him get elected, not saying that he can't stand on his own two feet now and hopefully he continues to be a great governor to Florida, and that we can consider him in the future as a president. Hopefully things go well for us, but things could just as well be disastrous for America coming up. All I can say is people pray, you know, pray with all your heart, your mind, and your soul that God gets his way in this land, that he can send us a Cyrus, because I think that's the best we're going to get. It's like right now the best being offered is not even a Cyrus. I would have considered Trump a Cyrus type character, as Cyrus was to the Israel, that, you know, Trump was a Cyrus to Christians in this nation. And he was. Doesn't mean that he was born again and a perfect man. It just means that he was an unregenerate man who looked favorably upon Christians and Christianity and some of the things that we stand for. And he did that. And if he could have stuck to that, if he hadn't sabotaged everything he did with warp speed, and the fact that he's still harping on that thing and calling it the best thing he ever did, no president could have done that but me, and all that nonsense, the guy's blind. You know, we have a much better choice out there for the voters. And like I said before, I believe that is RFK Jr. And I think RFK Jr. can wake up much on the left, much of the people on the left, especially the old school, the older school Democrats. He can shake them out of this delusion or dream world of Joe Biden, if Joe Biden hasn't been enough to shake them. For the diehard Marxist class among the Democrats, nothing can wake them up. You know, they want their tranny homosexual world with their absconded rainbow, and to, you know, spread that degeneracy all over the world. They think that's a great thing, and they don't care what the cost is. And they want electric cars, even though they're worse for the environment, from production to death, to the junkyard, I should say, that they are far worse for the environment than our old internal combustion engines, which are what a gift from God to harness fire like that and be able to use it. But now these electric vehicles, they don't have that fire. They are a fire hazard. That's what they are. Anyway, we're going off on a different subject there. Progressives are purely emotional. Is genocide too powerful a word? I can't, you know, do I really need to go there to find out what this article is about? It's probably about the kill shot and the death thereby. And how about our crashing birth rates? Oh, it's just, we are in trouble just enough from that. And it's all over the world, from America to China. It's everywhere. In many places, the birth rate is already below replacement, but it's falling. It's crashing now because of the same shot that we're talking and labeling a genocide. And it is an intentional genocide. It was not an accident. I cannot come to that by that conclusion in any way. And I think of all the candidates out there for president, if the only one that we even have a chance of bringing any justice to bear against these genocidal maniacs who have pretty much taken over the world, and that would be if RFK, but then I would fear for his life too. He would need to be protected. And with Obama running the White House and the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., I don't think he'd be any safer than Donald Trump, to tell you the truth. But someone... And that's why I think maybe Donald Trump, because maybe this time he would go out there and totally clean out and flush the toilet on the Washington, D.C. Commode. Just flush it. FBI, Justice Department, all gone. All gone. Completely flush them and then rebuild what you need, because We don't need an FBI. Every state has its own Bureau of Investigation, you know, and that's where it should be, because wherever the crime takes place, that's where it should be policed and prosecuted by the state. The FBI has no constitutional authority for going into any of the states on 90% of the things that they do. Now, there are federal crimes that have to do with, say, the executive branch or Washington, D.C. You could have an FBI for Washington, D.C. alone, you know, Federal Bureau of Investigation over the federal state of Washington, D.C., which is really owned by the Antichrist. It was a conspiracy to set up a central government. Because, you see, that's our problem. But, see, that's something the Antichrist learned over 1,260 years in Western Europe, that concentrating power put the power in the hands of those that concentrated. And they rule through concentrated power. Yes, just ask the Antichrist. Read F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil. And it's free. You go to my website, go to my Bible Studies tab there, and you'll see a list of resources and a link to a PDF of Rulers of Evil will be there. So you definitely want to check that out if you haven't read it yet. It's a book that you must read. Yes, it is a must-read book for anyone who wants to know what in the world is going on and what went wrong with America. That's it. It's all they needed was to concentrate power, because then they can corrupt to their heart's delight. And boy, do we have corruption. All right. Is genocide too powerful a word? Conservatives need to support boycotts. Well, you know what? I'm never stepping my foot in Target again, and I'm never going to drink a Bud Light in my life. I don't know if I ever have, but I never will. And many other. I won't buy Levi's. I won't go to Starbucks. Yeah. And many other things that I will not do because of the woke corporations that are behind those products and businesses. And that's what we need to do, all of us, especially Christians. I mean, shame on you if you're paying $5 for a cup of coffee at Starbucks. You know, you're making them rich to support things that are abhorrent to you and your life and to your God. Okay, and that goes for Target and Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch, which are now mostly, a lot of these are now foreign corporations. They've been bought out by foreigners. Yes, America has been sold out. We need to develop new industry to take the place of all these old industries. Yeah, that would be nice to see, wouldn't it? And there's an article here. Is Trump the best candidate for 2024? If I could trust him, I would say yes. But I don't trust him simply because of what he did with Warp Speed. He initiated the takedown of America. He did that. Nobody else did it. If he repented of it, I might trust him. But he has not repented whatsoever. He's a blame shifter. If you just say, I did that, it was a mistake, I was duped by Fauci and all the smart people around me, and I found out that they were not smart, they were diabolical, then I would believe him. Then I would say he's the best candidate. But no, he's not. Now I'm saying, here's a guy I know is genuine, and that is RFK Jr. Yeah, he's genuine. I think we can trust him to be who he is. And I know he's a little bit woke on the green thing, but with what he's been through, I think he'd be willing to look harder and understand that, say, like the electric vehicles, that they are 10 times worse for the environment than a combustion automobile will ever be. And that there are other alternatives to outlawing fossil fuels, because we were already doing a great job against pollution. Your name and where are you calling from? Okay. Yes. Let's see what our next tab here has for us. Let's see. They don't want you to, they don't want you to know about lab-grown meat. Yeah. What a, you know, what a farce. You know, lab-grown meat is like candy. It's like the candy corn. You know, candy corn is to vegetables what lab-grown meat is to real meat. It's not real. Because, you know, candy corn is just sugar and hydrogenated vegetable oils and high fructose corn syrup. It'll kill you. I mean, it's fun to have a little candy corn once a year because it is candy and it should be treated as such. But lab-grown meat is far worse than a cow. To produce the same pound of lab-grown meat for the environment is it has a horrendous cost. And if you read this article, that's probably what they're going to tell you. I've read several articles about lab-grown meat, and believe me, first you don't want to eat it. And this is Dr. Mercola, so I would definitely go with whatever Dr. Mercola says in this article on lab-grown meat. But give me the real cow, man. And I'm growing sheep out in my field right now, just in case woke Californians outlaw meat or something. These people are idiots, you know, in the legislature over there, the things that they're passing in California with this woke governor straight from the Antichrist hell on earth. All right, BRICS, China, and Middle Asia coups. And we're going to talk a little bit. Oh, we are running out of time. I could probably do two hours on news. And see, Dr. Naomi Wolf uncovers Pfizer's depopulation agenda as evidenced by its own documents. Definitely, this woman is wonderful. I would check her out. And we've talked about the depopulation agenda. It is real. So there we have someone from the mainstream, not which the mainstream now hates, giving us the skinny on what's really going on there. And let's see, I got a few minutes left, and I had this article here because I want to, something we always want to keep our eye on is the mark of the beast, the march to the mark of the beast. BIS engages AI to monitor all global bank transactions. The BIS justification is to crack down on illegal money laundering by anyone but itself. Only we, you know, we have a monopoly on laundering money. That's what we have in America now. When they turned our monetary system over to the Federal Reserve in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act, they just gave them a monopoly on money laundering and counterfeiting. Nobody else gets to do it. They took our rights away from us and gave them to a foreign corporation called the Federal Reserve, thus named, because if they had named it what it really is, people would have cried out and in protest, and it would have never gone anywhere. But they've tricked them by naming it with a lie, the Federal Reserve, because as they say, it's not federal. It has no reserve. Not for us. They reserve everything to themselves. They get all the interest that they can collect from us. We have to borrow. America has to borrow all its money from them. We have become their slaves. That's right. So anyway, think about this. In order to sift out illegal transactions and patterns of a few, it will require analysis of all transactions. And we have that from the Technocracy News editor there. While the IMF is currently gearing up to introduce its new global CBDC system called the UMU, also known as the Unicoin. We've spoken about the unicorn coin. The Bank for International Settlements has been busy with multiple projects designed to centralize all international banks and central banks into a single umbrella network that allows for quick cross-border transactions using digital currencies. In other words, a cashless society. One such concept called Project Icebreaker dealt specifically with creating a SWIFT-like bottleneck system which would allow all global banks to regulate and eventually homogenize all currencies into a single one-world exchange model that would give them the power to cut out any nation or company that does not meet their ideological approval. Yes, that's what they've been testing that now for the last, 10 or 15 years. And with removing people from PayPal or debanking people or not doing certain transactions on credit cards, whatever. Yes. The latest idea from the BIS project, Aurora, which may be even more disturbing than Icebreaker in its implications. Aurora is designed to use machine learning, AI, as a tool to monitor vast flows of financial transactions from all over the world in order to identify specifically flagged patterns. The BIS says that this is meant to discover criminal money laundering. If you're a criminal, they don't like. And, you know, like someone who doesn't agree with them. Perhaps you've been banned on YouTube. Yes, same rules will apply to you in banking. Right? Yeah, that's pretty much you. You're a criminal. Like all the criminals locked up from January 6th. Anyway, that order there is there at Technocracy News today if you want to dig deep into what they plan on doing to us all. Anyway, that ends our first hour. You've been listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas, and I will be back after the news. So stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit Cross the Border. .org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in this segment, I wanted to talk more about prophecy. And as I'm still working on the fourth volume of the Hori Apocalypticae on doing an update version of it, I find myself focusing more than ever on the seventh vial being that that is the period we're in. The Revelation is quite a book. Most people don't understand it, and I understand why most people are confused about it. And I've written, I don't know what, 6 or 7 books now on Bible prophecy, beginning with in 2014 with my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. And I thought it was done. Not in 2014, but I thought it was done lately, but I'm not so sure. I guess perhaps the Lord has put me on a track and I'll be done when he says I'm done. But anyway, I am doing a revised edition of the Hori Apocalyptica. I have produced, I've already published 3 volumes of it, and they are available at Amazon. Let me see if I can find those there for you from my my Amazon account here. And there's volume 3 there. Let me look at this thing. View it on Amazon here. Anyway, there it is, volume 3. And I have to say I'm pretty happy with the outcome of it. Volume 3 was a lot more work than volume 1 and 2, because volume 1 and 2 brought you up to, you know, the French Revolution, and that was everything before that, and excellent, you know. Excellent work that E.B. Elliott did there. All I had to do was bring some of the archaic sentence structure and wording up to date, and I did that. And bring the formatting up to date. So I did that, went through it with a fine-tooth comb, and then I did an audible version. And that's what really made the difference, having to read every single word and then edit it so that I could read every single word. Because sometimes I would read sentences and just let them go, because well, that doesn't make any sense. So I had to find out, what was he trying to say there? And I stumbled. There are a lot of stumbles there when you get to every single word and having, because I wanted to understand what I was reading. So that was my rule. I have to understand what I'm reading. I have to read every word. I have to understand what I'm reading. Otherwise, anyone listening to me, if I don't understand what I'm saying, how are they going to understand it? So I found it a very effective way to edit a book and to bring it up to date quite a bit, and to correct a lot of the sentence structure and a lot of the, you know, typos and archaic word structure and words. I mean, there were words I've never heard this word in my life. And I had to have to research for a word that you find out has not even been used for so many years, and come up with an alternate word, a synonym for it, that is being used. So that, there was quite a bit of work there. But volume 3 and 4 required quite a bit. Now, I didn't take anything out. There was his chapter in volume 3 on the earth beast. And he called it the lambskin covered beast. Well, there's nowhere in the whole scripture that expresses the seventh beast of the Revelation as a lambskin-covered beast. That was, that's one of the places where E.B. used conjecture to come to that conclusion. So he fell into the same trap that the dispensationalists and the amillennials fall into by using conjecture. And I explain why he did it, because I know why he did it. And I didn't take that chapter out. I did move it to the appendix, because I decided with this edition I wouldn't correct things so that I would take anything out. I would leave everything there because it's a part of apocalyptic history, okay? His understanding, the determination he came to because of his position and where he was in apocalyptic history, and that was his apocalyptic interpretation. So it's part of the history of apocalyptic interpretation. So I moved that chapter, and then I replaced it with the one that has proven to true, because I believe that First of all, I have to state, as I state in the book, and I show E.B. Elliott's own exhibit, that he had like 20 years left before the consummation, according to his calendar. So he had to find things in history that were not even going to be apparent for another 100 years. Okay? And that's where you fall into a problem. So it's understandable. And I believe that if E.B. Elliott had been around another 100 years, he would have seen the end of World War II. He would have seen the head wound healing, which he doesn't even really cover in his book. He tries to put it into the past too, but he doesn't really, besides a few passing comments on it, he never focuses on it. Because what do you do with something that you can't do anything with? But now we can do something with it, because he would have seen it. He would have seen the rise of the two-horned earth beast and its creation of the image 100 years later, at the end of World War One and Two. Okay? He would have seen all those things develop, and he would have seen what we have seen. And so those are what we have to add if we're going to bring the Horae Apocalypticae up to date. But like I said, I didn't want to leave anything out, and I had several comments from other people who read the former updated edition I did, and that was the only complaint they had. So I decided, well, I'm going to leave it in there. And so I moved it to the appendix. And I also moved a chapter or two to the appendix in Volume 4, the one I'm working on now. And so I'm spending a lot of time on the seven vials, and I still wanted to discuss those. But first of all, then looking at books, because I'm not getting any traction on my books, how do I get the word out, you know, for people? But I went to Amazon, because I put in a type like top 100 Christian prophecy books, and I found out that there's one person that is dominating the charts today, and that is this guy here. This guy, his name is, let me get him over here where you can see him on my screen if you're looking live. Amir Tsafari is the guy's name. And he's prolifically writing futurist dispensational books. And see, now this guy has something I will never have. He is a Jew. He was born in Israel. And it says here, like, this is very important. He was born in Jerusalem, Israel, in 1972 to a Jewish family. Okay, and you know how the dispensational and the futurists and the evangelicals worship anything Jewish. So here's a Jewish guy, and he has here as his religion is Judaism. So he's a practitioner of Judaism, but he's a believer in dispensational eschatology, futurist dispensational eschatology. It says early life here. Okay. Oh, here it is. Career. This is his career. Amir Tsafari served in the Israeli Defense Forces, achieving the rank of major. At one point during his service, he held the position of deputy governor of Jericho. After his time in the military, he became a tour guide in Israel. Later, he served as CEO of Efsar El Tours. Amir Tsafari became associated with Calvary Chapel founder Chuck Smith. Yeah, I like that jump down there. While guiding a tour of Israel, his interactions with Pastor Chuck were the catalyst which led him to pursue becoming a Bible prophecy teacher. Yes. And I had an encounter with Chuck Smith early on, say, back in the 70s. Wow, when this guy was born. Because I heard Chuck Smith on the radio, and I loved it, because I loved what he was doing, because I loved God's Word. But he was teaching the Bible and preaching in a way that I found very attractive. You know, it's called It's called expositional teaching. You open up to the Bible, to the book, and you start at verse 1. And you read every verse, and then he would comment it on as the commentor or the pastor or the preacher. So he would comment, and I'm going, I love this. This is what I've never heard before in my life. I've heard a lot of preaching and teaching, but this is the stuff I like. So I love Chuck Smith, and because I loved his method of teaching. He opened up the Bible in a way for me that no one ever did before, and an understanding. But when he came to chapter 24 of the Bible, oh my God, he showed me dispensational futurism and the rapture. It was there in the Bible. I heard him read it, but no, I didn't, because that's when he started employing, what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? Conjecture. That's the one. That's where you bring in other things to support your thesis on a particular passage in the scripture. And so he would bring all these things in, and I'm listening and I'm going, well, he's just reading the word. So I thought this was really real. But one thing that none of these guys will tell you is that what they're teaching you is only speculation. And if they were honest, that's what they would tell you. Oh, this is only a speculation. I'm conjecturing this to support my speculation, but that doesn't mean my speculation is true, because I cannot find anything that explicitly upholds my thesis, but I can conjecture it to death, you know, and the more years I have, the more conjectures I can find. Like Noah, when Noah went into the ark, God shut the door behind them. That's a picture of the rapture. Say, that's conjecture, and that's how they uphold it. So if you love conjecture, and like I said, this guy is dominating the top 50, the top books, and I perused his stuff, and it's just classic dispensational futurism, except for this guy is a Jew. So, and I believe, and they worship Jews in the evangelical churches today, especially in the dispensational, they're not really Protestants anymore. They're dispensational futurist evangelicals, and they worship Jews. I mean, I was appalled one day when I was watching something, and they introduced a guy and said he was a Jew. And the whole auditorium stood up and gave this guy a standing ovation. For what? Simply for being a Jew. That's right. It was so worshipful, it was embarrassing to me. I was embarrassed for the people that did that, because they were obviously worshiping this man simply for being a Jew, because they have been taught that the Jews are God's chosen people, not the church, not the saints that we read about in the New Testament, but the Jews specifically. Anyone who is a Jew deserves a standing ovation just simply for being a Jew. Because flesh and blood, as we know, is what the kingdom of God is made up of, right? No. Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And like the angel that stood before the prophet, when the prophet fell down to worship the angel, you know what the angel said? God's messenger said to the prophet, he said, stand up. He was embarrassed. He didn't want to be worshipped. He said, I'm your fellow servant. Okay? I'm a fellow servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worship me, worship him. And that Jew, that wherever a Jew receives a standing ovation, should be embarrassed and blush. And he should say, stop! I'm just a man. Worship Jesus. And this guy he's capitalizing on that kind of false fame for just being a Jew. So if a Christian, right, see, because the old champions, Chuck Missler and the guy who wrote the late great Planet Earth and Wolverd and all those authors, guess what? Their books from the 70s are still in the top 50, or at least one of their books. Late Great Planet Earth is still in the top-selling 50 Christian prophecy books today. What a shame. What a shame. And Chuck Missler's book, the one I did the video on, Where's the Gap, Chuck? Okay? I use the cover of his book. That book, Chuck Missler's 70 Weeks book, is in the top 50. The church is still under this counter-reformation delusion today. Nothing has changed. Do it. Try it yourself. Top 50 Christian prophecy books. You'll find the listing there for Amazon books for sale. And that's what you'll see. So that's what's going on. That's what we're fighting against. So it empowers me. It invigorates me a little more that I still have this battle to win, even with the books I've already written. And I'm going to actually send this guy, Amir Tsafari, I'm going to send him three of my books. I think I'm going to send him Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And, of course, this one I think will be more eye-opening than anything to him, is The Beast Apocalyptic. Because if he reads this and understands it and he sees the truth in it, it will overthrow every foundation of futurism and dispensationalism. And I'm going to send him the Millennium Question, because he has to agree with most of what's here, but it's from a premillennial reformed historicist view. So I'm going to send this guy three of my books and see, and it'll be a test for him. Does he just want to continue to I mean, because if he takes my stuff and he internalizes it and he makes it his own, I don't care. Because I wanted to research and go, yeah, this is what the Bible really says, and make it his own. And then he can introduce, you know, the Christian world that are hooked because he's a Jew on him. He can introduce all those people to true prophecy. That would be my prayer and my hope, that I could open his eyes. And I don't need any credit. I just want people to see the truth, even if they see it through someone else and I get no credit whatsoever. I could care less. The only credit I want is when I see him face to face and he says, "Well done, my faithful servant." That's all the credit I need. And I'll wait for that. Okay? Yeah. So anyway, there it is. Amir Tsafari. Pray for him, you know, and I pray for when I run to people like this, I pray for him. This young man there who was born when the year I first read The Late Great Planet Earth, I was reading the book and he was just being born. And running into Chuck Smith, well, that was quite a boon for him. And now he wanted to pursue becoming a Bible prophecy teacher. Wow. I never wanted to pursue that. Yeah, I never wanted to pursue it, but I ended up doing it anyway. If only I could have started it back then. That's the problem, is I started teaching the Bible, and I wanted to teach it out of the Scripture from what it actually says, and I did not want to conjecture it. And that's where I ran into a problem, and why, back in 1995, when I started Bible teaching, I had to say, no, it's not in there. The only way I can get this is by conjecture. And I'm just not willing to stoop to that. Unless I can find at least one explicit statement to support a pre-trib rapture, I can't offer it. Because it's a total construct. It's a total, speculation. And it's no more than that. But none of these guys will admit that. Boy, they will become defensive, even combative, and downright, they will just attack you if you try to get them to admit that it's only a speculation, because they don't want to admit that to their people, because they hold it out as the truth. and either they're blinded themselves and they can't see that it's only a speculation, and that truth and speculation are not the same thing. That's all there is to that. Anyway, so enough on that, I guess. What were we going to talk about? Let's see, Iran. Oh, yes. Yeah. Revelation 16. That's where I'm at. That's where my study is. And speaking of the vials, I started to like the seventh vial being poured out into the air. It made me go back and kind of question what the air is that is being poured out on. And it makes sense when I see the seventh vial being poured out into the air. It makes sense that that is where the kingdom of Satan really dwells. And he is called the prince of the power of the air. So wherever his power is where this seventh vial is going to be poured out. Okay? So we got the seventh vial, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And this is the final judgment before Christ comes. This is the final of all of the seven, of all of the sevens, the chronology of the sevens. You have first, you have the seven seals. And the seventh seal opens up the seven trumpets. And that's why we know that they're contiguous. They don't all happen together at the same time. They're not parallel. Okay, but one happens the other after the other. And of course, the seventh trumpet opens up into the seven vials. Okay, and that's the chronology of the entire book of Revelation. You begin with the first seal at 95 AD. And it opens typifying the time that John, at the turn of the century, was living in, with the end of his life when he wrote the Revelation. That's the first seal. You go through the seven seals, and then you get to the seven trumpet judgments. And here we are finally in the last chronology of the sevens. So these sevens run consecutively one after the other, covering the period from 95-96 AD, the turn of the first to the second century, until the consummation. And we are at the very end. The seventh vial of the last sevens has been poured out. Everything else is supplemental between chapters 6 and 19. Everything else is supplemental to those chronologies. Supplemental informations to fill in the gaps and to give you who the characters are and what the symbols represent and so forth. I'll be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Okay, I was talking about the seventh vial, the era that we're in, talking about the chronologies that are in the scripture. Very key to understanding. You have the first three chapters of the Revelation, and they pertain to the things that are. At 95 AD, that is. And then you have chapters 4 and 5 about the controversy in heaven and the controversy over who is worthy to unseal the seals, signifying to us that that which is being unsealed after that point is not from men, but it is from God. It is from heaven, and it is from the only one who is worthy, and that is Jesus himself. Chapter 6 is where the first seal is opened, and that's where the chronology begins. And the chronologies end in chapter 16, and then all of the other chapters are supplemental to the chronologies to fill in the blanks, so to give you understanding to who the characters are, what the symbols mean, what their history is, the history of the people, the persons, the symbols, what they represent, where they fit in history, all that supplemental information. Once you know it all, you have it all in your brain. As you're reading through it, it starts to make sense. And that's what I've been noticing about my reading of the Revelation. Now I read it and it makes sense to me. There is a revelation logic that does not come easily. That's all I can say, because I've been doing this for, you know, I've been studying prophecy for nearly going on 20 years now. I started about in earnest, I would say about 2005. I didn't write my first book until 2014, and I was still didn't feel very adequate to write on anything about, especially the Revelation at that time. But quite a bit has changed in, say, the next 9 years where we're at now. That was 2014. Now it's 2023. And going through the Hori Apocalyptikē several times, reading the Revelation over and over, getting all the understanding I can to make sense of it, well, it's worked. It's starting to make sense. And there is a logic to the revelation. And so revelation logic is what we all need, or you need to have someone who has revelation logic. And I'll tell you, most of these guys do not. Like this guy, Amir Tsafari, he doesn't have revelation logic. He doesn't have a clue. He's still trying to fit the whole revelation into the 7 years when he won't be here, into a 7-year speculation. There's no logic in that whatsoever. It is illogical for you to read that which must shortly come to pass that was written in 95 AD and go, wow, all this stuff's not going to happen. You know, here you are 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years later going, this ain't all going to happen until sometime in the future. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Your name and where are you calling from? Yes, shut up, Nicholas. I'm just trying to interrupt your flow here. No chance of it. I've got revelation logic in my brain now. You can't, and I will not be confused. Okay? So there's no logic to reading a statement about that says that we're going to get prophecies about things which must shortly come to pass as to the commencement of their fulfillment. Because it's obvious that some of these things are going to happen at the very end, and even in the millennium. So we know it's not all going to immediately come to pass, like the preterists say. There's no logic to that, because the revelation itself defies it. And for the futurists to say, well, it's going to shortly come to pass in the future. But John wrote it in 95 AD. Why didn't he say, this is for the people, not for you guys now, you know, in 95 AD, not to the seven churches that I'm writing directly to, which are, you know, the things which are, but it's for future generation, way, 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 way in the future, the last 7 years before Jesus returns, must shortly come to pass when they live. Okay? See, that's not logical. That's illogic. So, as I said, the revelation is starting to become a very logical thing. And when we consider who the author is, it should not be otherwise. And if it's not logical to us, it's simply because we're confused. Or we don't know enough to see the logic of it. It's like the first time I read the Proverbs, you know, said, you know, 45, 50 years ago. Oh my, has it been that long? 52 years ago, when I first started reading the Proverbs, and it said, oh, to make one wise. And I thought, oh, wow, I want to be wise. And I started reading this book, and I'm going, this is illogical. This doesn't make any sense to me at all. And I was right. It didn't make any sense to me because my brain was not wired to think like that book that I was reading. But I persisted and read it anyway because I thought, well, maybe if there's wisdom here, maybe it'll rub off somehow. Maybe it'll penetrate, you know, the fortress of my puny brain and instill a little a little bit of that wisdom and understanding into my soul. And I'm glad I did persist, though I can't say I really understood it for, you know, another 20 or 30 years if I understood it at all. But now I read the Proverbs and, it makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. So there's a clue. If it doesn't make sense, keep reading it anyway. And just pray for God to open up your heart, your mind, to give you the understanding that you need to get by in your life and please Him at the same time. Yeah. That's that. So, how did I get there? Let's see. No comments in the chat room. No more calls except for people that are just trying to interrupt me. And I appreciate Mike calling me. It's always good to hear someone actually say something on the other end of the line. Okay. So anyway, getting back to the way that the Bible's left laid out, the first three chapters are, well, the first chapters and introductions, chapter 2 and 3 are the things that are, you know, the epistles to the seven churches that were then, that actually when John left Patmos, he went to those churches and he lived among them and ministered to the seven churches of Asia Minor. That it's fitting that he should. And you know what? They all became millennialists. Yeah, because they learned from, you know, the one that God gave the revelation to himself. Okay. And then the first seal opens immediately. At the turn of the century there, a little before, a little after, it doesn't matter, but it tells us about, and you can read the Hori Apocalyptica. You can go to horiapocalyptica.wordpress.com and just open up the book and start reading it. You know, you can't go wrong. It's not an updated version. It's the, what I did in 2018 version. I'm doing a 21st century edition now, but, the first two volumes, perfect. Didn't have to change them at all, okay? Because he did a very good job, and it's hard to not agree with everything in those volumes. Yeah, because there's more logic there than you'll ever find in any futurist dispensational dribble that's coming out of the latest or the late great Planet Earth or any author since then that is selling the same pablum. Basically. So, chapters 6 through 19 cover the era of the three sevens, the chronology of the three sevens, and everything else in between chapter 6 and the end of chapter 19 that is not outlining those three sevens is supplemental to the understanding of them. Filling in some of the gaps in the chronology that are present and giving you the information you need to understand who the characters are, what the symbols mean, and when and where and what is happening throughout those seven or three chronologies of sevens. The seven vials, the seven trumpets, and finally the seven vials. And praise God Almighty that we are in the era of the final one. It is done. Okay? The voice, great voice out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. This is the final vial. This is the final judgment of the chronology of the three sevens. Of chronologies that encompass the era we're living in, from the giving of the revelation until the consummation. We are in the final vial. I still believe we have about 30 till about 2055 approximately left before the seventh millennium begins to play out this vial. And it isn't one vial after another. Each vial, the effects of each vial continues throughout the chronology to affect, and some of them explicitly say that they are, until the end. Like you get to the sixth one, the sixth vial here, go up here, it says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. So you could call this era that we're in the three frog era, because it encompasses two of the last two vials of the sixth and the seventh vial era. It says, for they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. So that's interesting that it says the earth and of the whole world, because that's what we're talking about now. It's not just Western Europe anymore. We're dealing with the whole, the entire earth and of the whole world that is over the whole earth, to gather them to the battle of the day of great God, of that great day of God Almighty, which we know is when Christ returns in the battle of Armageddon. So the effects of these, of this vial goes to, alas, until, and many of the vials, the effects of many of what happened and what was poured out in many of these vials is affecting us even today and will until the day of the great day of God Almighty, as it says there in the text. And the seventh vial poured out into the air, and there came a great voice out of the heaven saying, "It is done." So the air, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. And that's why I believe that the seventh vial was poured out about the turn of the 19th going into the 20th century. I mean, you started with a Russian Revolution, World War I. What else that has affected the whole earth and is still affecting the whole earth that happened at the beginning of the 20th century, the 1900s? We had the Federal Reserve Act, which we like to talk about quite a bit here because of the effects it's having over the whole world. And the whole world is even rebelling against that hegemony, the hegemony of the dollar right now. But what is it going to lead to? Well, it's going to lead to the same hegemony by the same money masters who work for the Antichrist, only over the whole world. That's where all of this convolution is going to lead to. And what we see at the end in our supplemental chapter 13, where it says, well, if we just go there and read it, it's very easy to read. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. And that's the, we're speaking of the earth beast, the two-horned earth beast that has power to give life to the image of the beast. And it did. And that's why the image of the beast has its residence in New York City. But its power really comes from Washington, D.C. Okay. But that's where it's seated at. This image of the beast is an image of a government that governs the whole world, because it is an image of what the Roman Empire once was, and it is an image of a worldwide empire. And that's what it is. And it is an image through which the Antichrist can exert his will on the entire earth and the whole world. Okay? Causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So we see that being pushed forward and developed. We see a splintering, supposedly, with the BRICS and everyone looking for alternatives to the dollar. But the Bible tells us where it's going to lead. We don't have to wonder, where's this going to go? Are we going to be in a bipolar or tripolar world with three different monetary, dominant monetary systems? No. We're going to go where the Bible says we're going to go, because the Bible prophecy is history in advance. You can count on it. That's what it is. It's history in advance. You can count it. So that's where we're going, where the Bible says we're going. Okay? So fit that into your chronology. To mark it on your calendar, because that's where it's going. It's in chapter 13. It's supplemental to chapter 13 and everything that's happened after and before. It's supplemental information to tell us, to show us what's happening to the beast's powers as we move through the chronology of the sevens, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials, to see where everybody is. And then we go back to the seven vials, the era that we're in. Like I said, we're still living under the effects of the sixth vial, even in the seventh vial. These spirits like devils working false miracles, because it says that they are false. They're unclean spirits. Okay? Come out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, out of the mouth of the dragon. Satan, the beast, is the beast. And the false prophet is the Antichrist. It's not, the false prophet is not a beast. That was a total conjecture and an error. Okay? One I believe if E.B. Elliott were alive today, that he would recognize, as surely as we recognize it, that the false prophet is none other than the antithesis of the true prophet. And there's no truer statement that could ever be said than that. How could anyone say, oh, that's not true? Is not the false prophet the antithesis of the true prophet? So we just say, who's the true prophet? Well, Moses told Israel to wait for a prophet like him. And the Israel, the Jews, recognized that prophet that Moses is speaking of was the Messiah. Yeah. So the Messiah is the true prophet. Jesus is the true prophet. Who is the antithesis of the true prophet but the Antichrist, the false prophet? Is that logical enough for you? That's revelation logic, people. That's what I'm talking about. So we have these spirits of devils going throughout the earth, working miracles. What kind of miracles can devils work? They can't, because a lot of people, the literals, they believe that people are going to actually have the power to do miracles. No, but they're lying miracles. They're lying wonders. They don't actually have supernatural power, and they will not have. They're not going to make huge statues walk and talk, okay? Unless they do it through CGI or with technology. But that's not really supernatural. That's using what God gave us in His creation and natural powers. It's not something that is supernatural. They're lying wonders. They're false miracles because they are false. So, and Jesus says, and just, I like how He throws us in here because we're speaking of the seventh vial. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I see a lot of shame out there today. People are naked. They're living in naked lies and they can't even see it. It's like the emperor's new clothes. These people are really naked and they are unashamed, but we see their shame and they can't see their shame. Like, what is a woman? Give me a break. We've known what a woman is since the beginning. Jesus wasn't confused about what a woman is, neither should we. And you can't believe a lie that these guys working false miracles using scalpels and sewing people up differently is going to turn a man into a woman or a woman into a man. These are false miracles. Yeah, that's, and all the drugs, more false miracles. You know, they really want you dead and they'll lie to you to do it. If you can't see that so far, then you are naked and you are unashamed, but we see your shame. Yeah. You may not see it, but we see it. When Joe Biden and his press secretary get out there and lie in front of the whole world, well, people who love the truth, they see the lies immediately. And then there's those that want to believe the lies, that they believe the lies. They believe what they're saying is the truth. These are the deluded ones. And I'd say that definitely 30% of the people may fall into that category, unfortunately. Yeah. And then there are the people that worship the devil openly. Yeah. So, and he gathered them together in a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. So, saying that in the chronology, throwing this in the chronology of the sevens here, and the final seven of the last seven plagues, or seven judgments, he gathered them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon, right? Of course, we're talking about the sixth going into the seventh. So placing this in the chronology where it belongs and everything that has to do with the Battle of Armageddon, of course, you're getting over to chapter 19 now. You pull it in because chapter 19 is supplemental to where the instruction right here in the middle of the chronology is to pull that in here. Okay, is that logical enough for you? And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and to the prince of the power of the air, and everything that he has power over is coming under and is the intent and the target of this vial of judgment. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since there were men upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And I believe that this mighty an earthquake, I believe it began with the era of World War I leading into World War II. And we fit in the image of the beast in that era. Because, and also the head wound being healed falls in that era, 1929. It falls into that supplemental part of the head wound healing. You know, we can fit it in to the seventh vial era, into the era. Because if what I believe is true, and I feel it's logical to me, that this earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, typifies the only thing in history that has already happened recently, especially, was World War I and World War II. We had 40 years there, approximately 40 years of so mighty an earthquake that shook the whole world. Okay, well, I guess that's all I have time for today, and I hope that's enough. If anyone has any questions, go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Read the many articles there or leave comments on the several articles that are there appropriately. Okay, may the Almighty bless you and keep you until we meet again.